Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brennan. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. There he is. Everybody's favorite cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, what is it? We're going so much behind the scenes going on right now. I didn't even know if we were going to. I thought we lost the show there for a minute.
Mike, I thought we lost you for a second. I was like, everybody's in the portal. Everybody's coming out of the portal. And then they're back in the portal, you know. So, yeah, man, we knew this was going to be a crazy run, the crazy season. But, Mike, brother, at the end of the day, when we're watching these teams compete in the college football playoff, it comes down to this week here. So this is big, big, big for the SEC. And I think it's a huge step for us to finally get back in some action, man.
You're right. So, man, a lot to hit on, Shane. I mean, I don't even think we're going to touch the surface because there's just so much going on.
Mm-mm.
But I want to give a quick shout out, Shane.
Yes.
Special listener, cousin Matthew J, who goes by Blue Animal. I don't see him in here. Hopefully he joins us later or he hears us later. He sent us a little note, Shane.
Yeah.
And he also sent us some swag. I'll show you here in a minute. But let me just read you this note. Shout out again, Matthew J, Blue Animal. Hey, cousins, been a listener for the past 5 years and a Missouri Tiger fan for the last 29. That SEC podcast, one of my favorite things to listen to in the squad car when I'm at work, especially on night shift. I've always wanted to send something in for the wall of swag behind Cousin Mike, so I hope this University of Missouri Police Department will work. If you guys find yourselves in St. Louis or Columbia, hit this cousin up. First round on me. So we got an official patch, Shane.
Hell yeah.
University of Missouri Police. And he sent us a flag, too, another patch that they wear, obviously. So
yeah.
This will be joining the set here soon. But I just want to give a shout-out to Matthew J. And if we ever get arrested in Columbia, we're counting on you to bail us out, buddy.
I'm starting to wonder if maybe this is a setup, you know, because I did spend some time there, some tailgate stuff missing. See, he's trying to lull me in there, and next thing I know, I'm arrested. But no, I mess with you. I appreciate you, cuz. Thank you for your service. And of course, thank you for the swag. Mike's going to give me one of those, and I'll be able to put it in the back here. And he better, because I know an officer that can take care of it.
I'm just glad it's not the officer that's out here pushing around Nick Harbor. You know what?
Oh.
Hey, all right, so we got all kinds of portal stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, he says, man, he was probably the one that arrested Zion. No, we're not going to start those rumors here.
No.
That is funny, though. But we'll get all into this transfer portal stuff, Shay. But yeah. I got to get something off my chest here.
Okay. What you got?
I don't know if you're going to agree with me. And based on the comments of all our YouTube videos, they ain't going to agree with me either. But hopefully the cousins. I think they're a lot smarter than most. Mm-hmm. All this discussion about the SEC, it's over and done with. Bury them. I ain't buying it, Shane. I am not buying it. Now, yes, of course, I will admit, you know, I'm not totally oblivious to the horrible bowl record that the SEC has. And yes, it has been a disappointment. We thought they would win the vast majority of these bowl games, and they have lost damn near all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that the SEC is dead, and even to suggest, Shane, that the Big Ten or any other conference is better. Hell, I've seen some of these Big Ten people saying the ACC is better than the SEC now. Mm. I mean, it's just a complete joke. And where I really think there's an issue, Shane,
yeah,
is the fact that, and I don't want to put it all on Georgia, but I think it's Georgia right now because people assume if the SEC was going to have a team left standing,
yeah,
true or false? Unbiased people. I mean, Ole Miss people, Bama people, Oklahoma people, A&M people. Of course, they supported their team. But if you're not one of those, if you know, gun to the head, who's the last SEC team standing? I think the vast majority of them were going to say Georgia. Don't you think?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So Georgia getting knocked out. Again, that's viewed as and they won the conference. I mean, hell, they should be viewed. They were red hot. Kirby Smart, best coach in the country. So they don't get it done, and all of a sudden the SEC sucks. Because all I heard, Shane, all year was Ohio State was the best damn team.
Yeah.
Ohio State can't be beaten. Nobody talks about their – they got their ass whooped. They did, how many playoff games Ohio State win, Shane?
None.
None. Not a damn one of them, Shane. Same as Georgia, yet all we hear is this SEC nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I think even more importantly, yes, the A&M game was rough, but we see now that Miami, hell, they may very well win the national championship. Not to say that was a acceptable loss. Yeah, I think I still think you should have won that game at home. But you went toe-to-toe with them. I think the real problem is we had so many damn teams in the bracket.
Yeah.
That Alabama knocked off Oklahoma. I mean, SEC versus SEC. And then, of course, Ole Miss knocked off Georgia. So, yeah, when you have five teams in there and two of them are eliminated by fellow conference teams, that's how we get to this mess where, you know, we are at least this. I'm just talking this playoff run.
Yeah.
That the SEC doesn't have anyone left standing because, hell, we've basically eliminated half our field ourselves. And I just think it's foolish to suggest that the SEC is not the best conference anymore.
Hmm. And that's fair, Mike. And I feel like part of what I see, or what the way I feel anyway, is that this conference is absolutely loaded with a talent, right? And what you see now is not like it was in the 90s or 80s. There's not two teams that are just dominating. I think there are several very, very good teams in the SEC. Just unfortunately, there's not a great, right? There's not an elite. There's not, you mentioned Georgia, but there's not a dominant team in this league. And you know, and that's what we kind of leverage our bets on when we're trying to predict how good or bad a conference is. Instead, we'll see it on draft day, right? I guarantee you on draft day, there'll be plenty of SEC players walking across that stage, and we'll be asking ourselves, like, did we lose this year? Did the SEC team take a step back? And I'm right there with you, Mike. I just feel like this has just been a down year for elite teams in this conference.
Right. And I would say, Shane, that there is, I think there's a lack of elite coaching short of Kirby Smart.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Kirby Smart. I mean, I'm trying to look around. I get there's good coaches in this conference. Yeah. Lane Kiffin, I think, is borderline elite.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's literally never won anything. You know, Josh Heupel's there. I think Venables proved a lot of the doubters wrong, including us.
Yeah.
Elko, you know, he's had some. Now, he hasn't got it done when it really mattered. Sarkisian, he's been to the playoff multiple times. So there is good coaching.
Yeah.
But is there elite outside of Kirby Smart? I would say probably not.
No, I wouldn't argue with you. And the problem is when we start seeing that elite style, it goes to the NFL or it goes to a different conference as a head coach. You know, it's, we're not getting a lot of promoting from within, and maybe that's part of the case too. But again, when you hear some of these guys talk about, like, just NFL coaches in particular talk about college football, it's just the NIL, the portal, this constant recruiting. I mean, you can't put your phone down. And I feel like there's some of these elite coaches saying, hey, man, I can get paid and I can be viewed as one of the best coaches in my, you know, area if I go to the NFL and not have to deal with the recruiting side of things. So, yeah, I definitely feel like coaching is down.
Hey, Mike Jones, he's got a suggestion. Fire Sankey. I don't support that. Best commissioner out there. Hire Shane. No championship in 3 years.
I don't even read books, Mike, so that can be a problem. But oh, man. No, I Sankey, man, I tell you, I don't know how somebody does it. I really don't think it should be a one-man crew. But, you know, honestly, for a guy that gets a lot of shit, one of the things that really stands out to me for Sankey is he's always put this conference first, you know. And if it doesn't better us, he fights like hell, and sometimes it sounds a little crybaby-ish, but who cares? I feel like at the end of the day, Mike, he's just trying to make this conference back to where it should be, Mike, and that's at the top. So, and lately here, we've not hit it. We've not hit that mark.
Mm. Well,
but you get on Wikipedia, we still own, you know, the we're not hanging banners yet, but you better believe we still, percentage-wise, have most of the national championships.
You're damn right,
yeah.
Shane.
Yeah.
So, man, like I said, we got a lot to cover, but I just want to get that off my chest. I get it. No championship, national championship for 3 years in a row. So there's cause for concern. I'm not saying everything's great, but to suggest any other conference is as good as this one. I just think it's very popular to bash the SEC because the SEC's been dominating this sport for the better part of two decades. So come up short a time or two, and everybody's going to be eager to pour dirt on that grave just because how damn jealous they are. You know what?
Oh, yeah. Ernie says, Shane, Elko just promoted both coordinators from within. Curious how that goes. And we did bash it at the time. Here I'm like, we don't even do it. And then when it happens, I'm like, what a terrible hire.
Yeah, that was rough right there.
Oh yeah, but then watch it be perfect. You know, the kid just needed a shot.
Well, to that point, Shane.
Yes.
Again, we're gonna jump into the portal here in just a second, but where they did promote from within, and it looks like a stroke of genius, Shane. That's at Old Oxford right now.
Yeah.
So let's us jump down to Oxford because we had some big news here.
Mm-hmm.
Huge news. Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah.
Did not get his waiver via the NCAA. I did a reaction video. I think it was Friday when that news came down live. Ole Miss says they will appeal that decision. But who knows, Shane? Who knows? It's not looking great for old Trinidad to play next season at Ole Miss. What, if anything, does that change for the Ole Miss next season in your mind?
I'm pumping the brakes here because this thing's not over yet, right? That's. But if it is, I think we're still fine just because of what I'm seeing happen around. I mean, you talk about a successful team right now in the transfer portal. It's the Ole Miss Rebels. And I'm first in line, Mike. I am first in line to probably ask for an apology, ask for forgiveness, because I thought this experiment would explode as soon as this playoff run was done. I anticipated Ole Miss being a 6-6 team next year, a 5-7 even. That's how far back I thought this program would be. And I apologize because I was wrong. This is a football team that, you know, has created a culture. Yes, Lane was the one that did it. He beat the drum, beat his chest, you know, played pickleball every day. But by God, he created something special there in Oxford that when he left, that still echoes through the halls. And I feel like that's special, and Ole Miss does not want to take a step back. So, yes, I hate that Chambliss isn't there, and I'm a little curious about what this offensive room's going to look like. But, I feel like this team's going to be at the top for a while.
Oh, pop goes the culture, Shane. He says, we may not win every game, but we ain't lost a party. So, yeah, I mean, let's jump into the portal then, because they've been very active.
Yeah.
They're in Oxford, and I still think they're maybe the team that is winning the portal. There's a lot of candidates here out of the SEC, but right now I'll give it to Ole Miss. And they have signed Deuce Knight, Shane.
Yeah.
Quarterback from Auburn. So he's the first domino. They've added Joel Aguirre, for safety from Georgia, one of their safeties last year. So I think that was a pretty big pickup. Brady Priestcorn, tight end from Michigan.
Yeah.
Who's brother of Caden Priestcorn. So they got brother, one brother after another at tight end down there in Oxford. And Edwin Joseph, safety, Florida State. So they're retooling. They got Patrick Kutis back on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They've essentially signed damn near everybody. They lost a receiver and I think an offensive lineman. But to my knowledge, other than that, bringing back everybody they want. And one popular name, Shane, at quarterback that they may bring in. And apparently Deuce is totally fine with this because he's willing to compete.
Yeah.
They may add DJ Lagway. How what? About that, buddy? Yeah. Did you see DJ Lagway in Oxford?
DJ and Deuce. Ain't that something? You would think that would be Lane Kiffin, right? I mean, if I had my money and you said, hey, what coach picks up both Deuce and DJ Lagway? $1 million, even though I don't have it, I would borrow it to put on Lane Kiffin. No.
You just made me think of something. Is it possible that Lane wanted them so bad, Ole Miss was like, let's stab that sucker right in the back. Let's get both the guys he wants. You know what?
You know, this whole time we thought Lane had spies in Oxford and No. They're down in LSU right now. That's what Marler's doing. He's just going up and down the hall seeing what Lane Kiffin wants and doesn't want and sending it up to Mississippi. So, brother, it kind of blows my mind that we're in this. I mean, just think, Mike, two of the biggest names in the portal, and you may land both of them. I mean, there's some teams out there, Tennessee, trying to land one quarterback, and they're like, we'll take two. And we'll take two of the best ones with the most potential, right? And I say that because DJ has had potential. We've seen the ceiling of DJ Lagway. It's unreal. Deuce hasn't been unlocked yet, but if he does, golly, they're going to be just like 2.0. It's Ole Miss 2.0 from this year.
And it makes sense, doesn't it, that, you know, if I'm Deuce Knight, I'm not scared of DJ Lagway. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but if I do that, I would have imagined I have confidence I could beat him out. Like it's one of those, and that was a big, I heard behind the scenes, Shane, again, you know, why didn't he stay at Auburn and compete with Byron Brown? Well, to my knowledge, just because he looked at it the same way they did last year with Hugh Freeze going out there.
Yeah.
Hand selecting Jackson Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, we can mock that and say, well, that was stupid. But, you know, at the time, Auburn fans, if they're being honest with themselves, they're like, okay, we five-star, Oklahoma did them dirty.
Yeah.
We can win with this guy, right? And it's my understanding that Deuce didn't even really get a chance to compete. Like, that, mm-hmm. they just basically said, Hugh did everything, and because they were paying him a lot, too. I don't know if that factored in. But basically it was Jackson Arnold, it was no one else, right?
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, again, I like Jackson Arnold, and I've said, he has since gone to UNLV to play for Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do well there. I really do. But that's neither here nor there. The point being, Shane, I think Hugh Freeze went into the season saying, Jackson Arnold's our guy, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right?
Yes.
And I know Golish is a better coach than Hugh Freeze, because mm-hmm. I think you and I might be better coaches than Hugh Freeze. But the point being, is it really going to be an open competition if you're bringing in your senior quarterback that's been with you for years, that knows the offense? I mean, there's virtually no shot he would say, okay, well, we're paying Byron Brown how much, millions of dollars? Let's put his ass on the bench. Let's roll with Deuce Knight. So if that all makes sense, Shane, I think moving away from that situation makes sense. Now he's going into Oxford right now. I think he is the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
But even if they add DJ Lagway, I still think it'll be a true competition, because from the potential we have seen from DJ, I certainly could see him winning the job, but I don't think they would be bending over backwards to give him anything. I think he'd have to earn it, as would Deuce Knight. Does that all make sense?
It does. And I feel like, again, I joke 2.0, but I feel like they proved that, right? It's one thing to go on a recruiting trail or sit in a living room and say, hey, you come down here, you can compete. When you could literally watch Ole Miss football team, the starting quarterback lost his job through the season. Now, I know there were some injuries and stuff, but they played the hot hand, and they're going to put the best quarterback, regardless of name, regardless of how much money they're paying him, the best opportunity out there. So, I think this is, you know, small sample size, but it's very interesting the fact that they've got two kind of in this room. But how happy is Cam, you know, not giving up that number two spot down there in Auburn? It wasn't that long ago we were trying to unretire a damn jersey for this kid.
Right. Well, speaking of being happy, Shane, shout out Shin.
Oh!
So, yeah, Indiana went duck hunting, bagged them 56 M suckers, and it was damn good beaten with a side of sauce. Shin, you crazy son of a gun. Did you even watch that game, Shane?
Yeah.
I watched the pick six. I said, this shit's over.
I didn't watch the entire thing, but I'll be real with you. And if it weren't for Shin, I wouldn't give it a second thought. I promise you. But I can't believe I'm actually pulling for Miami. I mean, that's where I'm at right now. I'm sorry, Shin, it's not you, but it's that damn Cignetti. There's just something about him. I just can't.
Okay, that's fair enough. Fair enough, Shane. All right, well, like I said, we got a lot to move to. So, hey, how about this, Shane? Preseason number one, they were already getting billed it. I think they just added some more fuel to the fire, which they're used to it down there in Austin, Shane, because they have buddy Texas Longhorns have added Cam Coleman.
Yes.
Oh, buddy. And then this was pretty wild, Shane. So Alabama, a week ago, landed a commitment from running back out of NC State, Hollywood Smothers. Not so fast, my friend. He's flipped his commitment to Texas. And they've also added linebacker Rasheem Biles from Pitt. Pitt, and he's rated, according to On3, so take all this with a grain of salt. I don't truly believe too much in these rankings. But they got Biles as the number 16 overall player in the portal. They got Cam Coleman, I do buy this one, as the number 2 player in the portal. And Smothers, 27. So three of the top 27, according to On3, getting added to this Texas roster that, again, like I mean, I'm kind of kidding, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
I think Texas is probably going to be preseason number one.
Yeah.
If it's not Indiana, I guess.
I know. It's so funny to go because it was just, what, 3-4 days ago that we lost another Texas kid, and it was just like, what is going on in Austin? That's what, and
making room.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but usually that's not the case, but it is this time, brother. They're bringing in the big dogs, the big names, and I feel like that's why we're going to get behind this hop train come September, is why Texas should be number one, why Texas will have a Heisman Trophy quarterback again. So, yeah, they're doing all the right stuff, but I think more importantly, Mike, it's a testament that doesn't matter what you think you got right now. You know, you better, what's that guy say? You better lock your doors, lock your wife, lock your, because everybody's getting robbed around here, you know, and Texas is on the prowl, son.
Doesn't it make sense, though, Cam Coleman? I think, you know, the other teams were A&M, Texas Tech, I believe,
mm-hmm.
maybe another, but getting to play with Arch Manning in this offense, I'm sure he would have had a fine season at A&M because he's so good. But that just never made any sense to me. I thought this was the best fit for Cam Coleman, and I think the one that would get the most out of him because he's so talented. You know, I think even Texas would be fine if he's one and done, because that means he had a hellacious year and he's off to the NFL. If he's only got one more season in college, which I think regardless of where he went,
yeah,
he probably did. I think Texas makes all the sense in the world, don't you?
It does, right? I mean, if you're at that point, you know where you're at. You know where your draft stock's going to be. You want to go somewhere where you don't lose it. And I feel like, especially in this conference, you know, especially with the transition in quarterbacks, we're gonna have a lot of new faces next year. You know, you want to go with something that you think you can build on, and they're definitely going to highlight him. They're going to give him plenty of opportunities. So I'm definitely interested to see how it plays. But Mike, I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. If it doesn't, it's going to be complete drama. Right. They're just, it's like the Hard Knock. I hope the Netflix crew is ready down there in Austin if this experiment fails again.
So, hey, you went there, not me, Shane. Will there be massive changes, perhaps?
Yes.
If Texas does not make the college football playoff.
Mike, this is the last dance. Texas is shaping up that way. You're bringing this talent in. You've made excuses on why it didn't work in 2025, Mike. Yes, you better damn believe that the pressure is on Steve Sarkisian. And I'm not saying he gets fired, but don't be surprised if he doesn't find another opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Is there a tougher? I don't mean to turn this into 16 schedule talk here, but 16 team schedule talk. But just if I just told you the away games for Texas next year.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? I can't imagine there's a tougher one than at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Best damn home field in the country. I'm gonna include Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because that is not a home game. Not a true road game either. I get it. But let's throw Oklahoma in there. At Missouri, their stadium will be done, Shade. Uh-oh. They got a hellacious record at home, too, the last couple of years under Drink.
Yeah.
At LSU, first year, Lane Kiffin. And then at A&M, who hates your guts more than anybody after losing to you twice in a row. Again, does that really matter? Maybe not, but if we're talking the difference between a playoff and not, I mean, do you think that'll probably be the toughest road schedule in the country?
It is pretty damn tough, Mike. It is pretty damn tough, and honestly, I feel like, you know, we've given Texas shit for the last two seasons over scheduling, and I don't know how many people are going to be like, hey, they got it bad this year, you know? No, they're not going to say that. They're going to hold them accountable, which is crazy to me. But, yeah, I do think Texas got a hard draw here, and mainly on the home and away games. I mean, we're not even talking Ohio State at home, Ole Miss at home, Florida Gators at home. You know, there's going to be some tough home football games.
Arkansas.
But, brother, there's going to be some, you know, probably the ones they're going to be slight favorites in, or maybe not as, it's not going to be two-score favorites. Those are going to be on the road in hostile environments. So, yeah, it's going to be an awesome season, but a lot of pressure down there on Steve and Arch for sure.
Well, do they even want to be preseason number one? Or would they rather fly under the radar?
I think you embrace it. Right. Okay. That's what I'm thinking. Like, if you're going to crown me one, I'll be one. Right. And then, because one thing about being one is, you know, those are usually the teams that maybe if they do go 9-3, we're like, well, look who they had to play. You know what I'm saying? So,
hey, Shane, look who just became a member.
Hey,
Matthew Officer. J. Appreciate
Thank you,
buddy.
Cuz. Appreciate it.
All right. Let's get on. Well, how about that? Just for Matt here. Let's go to Mizzou real quick, Shane.
All right.
So it's been a little quiet. We got a lot of others to hit on. So, but they've added a defensive lineman from Miami all of a sudden, Shane. That's all they got down there is defensive lineman. So I'm going to count him as an elite one. Dante Simpson out of Miami. Jaden Jones from Florida State. And then I don't know if you've seen this, Shane, but I just want to get your thoughts on this. They have added former Clemson offensive coordinator Garrett Riley as, I think, a quarterback's coach is what they're officially going to call it. And he worked as a running back's coach. I didn't realize this under Drink, I think at Appalachian maybe, or NC State, one of the, so basically yeah. he has a track record of working for Drink. He knows what that entails. I realize it didn't go the way they thought it would at Clemson, but if you remember, this guy was the offensive coordinator at TCU when they went all the way to the national championship. So yeah. To get this guy on your staff, not even as the offensive coordinator, that's pretty big for Missouri, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like you talked about elite coaching, and we always are going to compare elite coaching to Nick Saban, but one of the things that stand out to me with Nick Saban is who was around him, right? In fact, we're in these college football playoffs, and we keep getting the pops up of the, you know, the disciples of Nick Saban, right? I mean, if you can create that kind of culture underneath you, and I mean, we're already seeing it. Drink's already starting to send some of these guys off for their own, you know, better jobs, if you will. So I feel like that speaks volumes that somebody wants to come work for you, you know?
Right. That's all I've ever wanted, Shane, was to work for you. You know
what? Yeah. He thanks me every day. He sends me a thank you text every morning. Appreciate that, Mike.
Well, you know who else I want to thank, Shane?
Who's that?
I would like to thank, run down to my notes here, Penn State, Shane. You know why?
Oh, because they're the only ones like that.
Because they have donated their freaking defense to Tennessee. How about it, buddy?
So first Tennessee. Home game, we're having a wideout, you know?
They've added a bunch of guys from Penn State, Shane, led by Chaz Coleman.
Yeah.
Pass rusher on three. Again, take it with a grain of salt, I guess. But on three, he's got him as the number three overall portal player. Not edge defender, but all players. So that was a big one. Linebacker Amari Campbell, Penn State. Defensive lineman Xavier Gilliam, Penn State. Safety DeJon Lane, Penn State. They also got Gavin Freeman, a receiver from Oklahoma State, who was actually even at Oklahoma prior to that. So he's got a track record here. I would imagine he's worked with Seth Luttrell, who's now on staff at Tennessee. So a lot of moving and shaking. They're trying to revamp the defense overnight with, of course, their new defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, who worked with all these Penn State guys. So what is the knock on this Jim Knowles? It takes apparently 60 years for him to install the defense. Well, just bring the damn team from last year.
Absolutely.
It's year two for all these guys, so hopefully they'll have it down a little bit better. And then throw on top of all this, Shane, we got Joey Aguilar still waiting to hear about his waiver, and the latest is it doesn't sound good, you know, especially after this Trinidad stuff. I know they're not related, but
right.
You know, I don't know how optimistic that is. And then they have apparently been recruiting Bo Prabula, former Missouri quarterback, and they're still waiting. Sam Leavitt,
yeah,
who on three's got as the number one overall portal prospect. A lot going on old Rocky Top. Who do you know? Which can they go with Bo? Can they wait it out for Sam Leavitt? Can they wait it out for Joey Aguilar? What's your thoughts?
I'm worried about this one, man. You know, I'm watching Bo. He's hitting them all up, right? He's getting a free meal in every town this side of the Mississippi right now. And I don't blame him. I'd be doing it too. Get wined and dined. But, Mike, I feel like, you remember that old game we used to play when we were kids and they would line up some chairs in a circle and they'd play music. And then when it stops, you know, there's one chair missing. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that when that music stops, Tennessee can't find a quarterback. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that we're getting defense. And I think all Vol fans are excited about that, you know, loading that side of the football. But all of that's a moot point if we ain't got a quarterback to throw the damn thing. So I do worry. I sense, Mike, that we are waiting to see what Sam wants to do. But you wait and wait and wait, then a guy like Bo has already found a Virginia job or something like that. Hell, he was up there as soon as that kid didn't get cleared for 7 years. So, that's just kind of the spot we're in, and I don't like it.
Shane, what is that game with the music and the chairs? Musical chairs, Shane.
That's it. I knew I was on to it. I just didn't want to call it, and I'd be wrong. So,
well, let me ask you this.
You remember that duck? It was like duck, and then there was like a goose involved somewhere.
We have been very clear on this, Shane.
Yeah.
Would you rather have the number one high school quarterback or the number one portal quarterback? In the last 2 years, what have we said?
Portal.
Now, Tennessee went out and got the number one high school quarterback, and now they're flirting with the number one portal quarterback. So maybe their strategy is just to get them both.
Yeah.
But if it costs $6 million, which is the number I'm hearing, I think that's part of the reason Leavitt's taking all these trips. It's because he's got a high price.
Yeah.
And no one's willing to pay it yet. But, hey, you said it right there, musical chairs. Do you know how you guarantee your spot in musical chairs? You pay $6 million for it. So, again, I don't know that's the true number, but I don't know if you saw this. Lane Kiffin came to Knoxville, Shane.
Yeah.
He came to recruit Sam Leavitt. So he must be a pretty big deal to LSU. LSU must be getting kind of desperate, which I don't know if that's the right word, but, again, they need a quarterback too.
Yeah.
And if you could guarantee, which there are no guarantees in this game, but if I could guarantee you that Sam Leavitt is the number one surefire thing out of the portal, is $6 million, is that a fair, like, would you pay it if you're Tennessee?
Well, it's easy to say because I'm not paying. But I mean, I guess in a roundabout way, I'm paying a portion of it somewhere, I'm sure. But, brother, I just, yeah, right? I mean, I just feel like, Either you want to compete or you don't right now. And this is the game that's being played. This is the hand we're dealt. And unfortunately, we don't, for some reason, we can't get some of the quarterbacks that we recruited, like you said, from high school to play serviceable football. So until then, yeah, I guess that's what you got to do. But I think $6 million, you're basically planting a flag saying we're going back to the playoffs this year, right? And that for me, if you're a booster, you're wanting to see what's the big picture. Am I going to get a return on my investment? Because if I'm giving you all this money to go 8-4 and Sam to right. get drafted or hit the portal again, I don't know if he's even eligible, well, then that's a bad deal. So I feel like that's part of the reason, too, is we're trying to see who we pairing him with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you could guarantee he's Fernando Mendoza,
yeah,
you know, John Mateer, I know people mock him, but Oklahoma went from dog shit to the playoff. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the defense was largely responsible, but he had to make a lot of plays this year for them to even be in consideration. So if you could guarantee you're getting that kind of impact, I think he is worth it.
Yeah.
But there are no guarantees, Shane. So Chambliss, another good example. I know he didn't make $6 million, but he was worth more than that, I think, to Ole Miss making this damn run. You know what?
And we got burnt on quarterbacks before. I don't know if you're aware of this, but last time we paid a guy a lot of money, it didn't end up well. So,
all right. Well, let's move on, Shane, again. We got a lot to get to here.
Yes.
Shout out, Shane, a team we've not been able to talk much about because they were so pathetic at the tail end here. But how about them Kentucky Wildcats, Shane? Speaking of Tennessee, they stole away their left tackle, Shane Lance Hurd. On threes, got him as a number 20 overall portal prospect. They landed running back from Texas, Shane, C.J. Baxter, former five-star in high school. He's been banged up a lot there in Austin. If he can stay injury free, which huge question mark, but if he can, he could be the biggest portal find here for the Kentucky Wildcats. Another Texas guy that they didn't want to lose, Elijah Barnes. He was an elite linebacker coming out of high school. They got a kicker, Shane. They're loading up on the offensive line. I'm loving the investment from Kentucky. I'm still uncertain about their quarterback. He was a backup there at Notre Dame, but if they struck gold with that guy, hell, I didn't know who Trinidad was a year ago. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's Trinidad, but I trust Will Stein to know more about quarterbacks than I ever will. Yeah. If they hit a quarterback, I like the fact that Tennessee fans will mock Lance Hurd and say, well, he's overpriced. Well, I tell you what, Shane, you just can't win at this level if you don't have a left tackle. Mm-hmm. And he did pretty solid for Tennessee this year. So I think whatever they paid for him in Lexington, I'd rather have him than not.
I'm just saying, man, it feels like here the last 6-7 years you go back, there's always one or two teams that take that step, right? That get exciting, and it's been Ole Miss, it's been Vanderbilt. Why not Kentucky, right? And I just, you talk about changing a roster overnight. Stein's been doing that. And if they can maintain that, and we'll see what it looks like. That's the best part. We haven't even seen it on the football field. This is going to be a totally different Kentucky football team than we've seen the last decade. So, yeah, this may be the one that surprises some folks in 26.
Because
they're getting veterans, man. They're not just getting, like, I hope he works. They're getting guys that have started for years. You talk about Lance Hurd. I mean, I'm sure Tennessee would love to keep him, you know, but now he's going to go up there. Of course, last time we sent a tackle up there, it didn't work out so well, but maybe this one will. Does he know where the what is it? He got caught over at the cafeteria, but the food thing. Remember that one? Concession stand. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's getting late.
Oh, sling blade over
there. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I do remember that. Do you remember, Shane, LSU, they landed former Tennessee, five-star, Shane.
Yeah.
Jordan Ross, pass rusher. So it's funny that we're just trading spots here. They landed an elite safety, Ty Benefield. Trey Wilson from Florida, receiver that we really like.
Oh, that's a big one.
That's a big one. Yeah, LSU's totally retooled the receiving core. You got to trust Lane Kiffin. He's done it years and years and years at Ole Miss, obviously. He did it at other stops as well. But they have totally retooled the receiving core. Still waiting for other dominoes to fall, really. But they're going to be in the mix for every damn transfer as we close out here. But can LSU being retooling? It's interesting that they're kind of retooling the defense.
Yeah.
And adding receivers. So whatever quarterback they land, he's sure as hell going to have a lot of good weapons to work with in Lane Kiffin's offense.
Brodo says 740. And Slingshade says, it's getting late.
That's true. It is not that late, is it?
No, it probably isn't. But, no, this is what you want. This is, you know, that kid got so mad about Lane not doing too much early in the transfer portal. But now it's starting to – he's starting to bring some of that talent in. And I can't imagine what Trey Wilson's going to look like. As long as he stay healthy, I mean, he's going to be an – I mean, he will be a focal piece of that offense. So, yeah, it's starting to come together. It's not quite there. I'm worried about, like you said, the quarterback situation. But I have no doubt in my mind that Lane, you know, he's got a few guys short on a short list.
Hey, update from Blue Animal, Shane. Went back and watched the beginning. Glad to see the letter finally arrived, and I promise I did not arrest Zion. Yeah. So get that rumor out of here.
Yeah.
You know what's not a rumor, Shane?
What's that?
A&M raiding the portal once again.
Yeah. Buddy.
They've got offensive lineman from Alabama, one of their starters, Wilkin Frumby.
Yeah.
On three's got him as the 27 portal player. And then they said, you know what? Were you friends with Isaiah Horton? Because bring him too. Bring him with you. So Alabama starting receiver now at A&M. I thought that was pretty interesting. Ricky Gibson, Shane, starting corner at Tennessee. He got banged up, unfortunately, missed most of the year. But now he's going to miss the whole year at Tennessee because he's down in College Station. So A&M getting aggressive here in the portal. And that's what they kind of had to do. You know, again, they missed out on Cam Coleman, but I think Isaiah Horton is probably going to cost you a fraction of the cost, and he's a hell of a productive player. So I think A&M's doing a really good job in the portal as well.
At times, Horton was the best receiver. I mean, you could argue he was up there in the conference. So, no, I absolutely home run. Texas A&M they find it, right? It's just, can they develop it? Can they continue it? And for me, Mike, what kind of showed its ugly head again was that competitive depth. And I feel like that's what A&M's accomplishing here in this portal class, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you who's really getting their depth settled, Shane.
Who's that, man?
Remember when Oklahoma hired Jim Nagy? We said, oh, this is going to be a big deal. And people were like, Jim Nagy?
Yeah.
Who the hell is that? Well, I'll tell you, he might be the new portal king, Shane, because Oklahoma's cleaning up in the transfer portal as well. Apparently, they've only missed on about one guy that they've actually wanted. So they're loading up. I mean, we talked about Parker Livingston. I think that'll be big for multiple reasons. Most of the guys they've added, we kind of already talked, Rocky Beers, we talked about that in the last one. But I did want to mention this, Shane. They added, or kept, more importantly, kicker Tate Sandell.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you watched the Green Bay Packers last night, Shane. They probably would have won if they had a damn kicker. I thought Tate was off to Green Bay, but no, he's coming back for them Oklahoma Sooners. Yeah. That's a big get to keeping a weapon, arguably the best kicker in the country, Tate Sandell, back for another year. That, I mean, in this conference, Shane, now you're playing 9 conference games. A game or two is going to be decided by the field goal kicking, and Oklahoma just did the best job to ensure that that they're going to make all these.
Just need shorter shorts, you know? And I feel like, brother, it is kind of funny. When I saw, because he tweeted out that he was coming back, and I was thinking at the time, I said, if he would have made those kicks against Bama, would it be a different? I feel like there's got to be a little bit on the line there, and brother, there may not be a better kicker in the country. So again, I am surprised he's coming back, but a big get for Oklahoma. I mean, could you imagine the weapon at times when you're within 55, 57 yards? It's like, we got a kicker that can actually put it through the upright. There's some people that are in 40, they're just praying to God that it's you know, Tennessee Vols.
And again, I would imagine, Shane, literally every SEC team that is in that situation that maybe is not comfortable with their kicker, they were probably giving him a call. You know it?
Absolutely. I would, yes, brother, there was probably 12 teams in the SEC that gave him a call. I guarantee it.
Yeah, just made their best pitch. You know what?
Yeah, I mean, brother, you think about some of the close games we had, Arkansas games, Tennessee games, Florida games. I mean, there were several that came down to a kick or two and could have ended or changed momentum. So, yeah. It's a big get for Oklahoma. But Nagy, and more in particular, I find that whole experiment, and I say experiment because everybody's doing it now, but it's just blows my mind how much it has taken off up there. And, you know, you were talking about coaches earlier. I feel like that's the move. Get you a good GM in there that deals with this. You know, let Coach deal with his team. Let him deal with the defense. You find a good GM, brother, you cut that part out, and you can actually enjoy this job and get better at it.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Shane. I don't really understand these coaches that don't see it that way.
Mm-mm.
And I mean, we're talking some of the best, right? So, like Kirby, they don't have a GM. Tennessee, they don't have a GM, and they have people doing the job. So again, you can sit here and say, well, I mean, those programs are pretty damn good, particularly Georgia, but. Taking some of that off the coach, I don't know. I just don't really see much of a downside because at the end of the day, as some would say, I mean, we know Kirby gets final say. We know Heupel gets final say. But to have someone that deals specifically with that in this era where literally everybody's a free agent, I don't know. It just makes too much sense to me. And I think you're seeing it where these programs that have the GM, I think they're doing a much better job than others.
For sure. Without a doubt. You're so smart. You're so damn smart, Mike.
You know who's really good?
It's Greg Sankey and you. I'm trying to figure out which one's the smartest guy. It's close. No,
definitely not me. But who I'll tell you who is smart, Shane.
What's that?
The Gamecocks.
Oh!
For retooling the offensive line like we've been begging them to do, Shane. Again, I think they did this live during one of the shows, and I didn't realize what a big deal this was. But they added from NC State left tackle Jacarius Peak, who on three's got him as a number 6 overall player in the portal at left tackle. So that's huge. They have added an East Carolina offensive lineman, really needed that. A Central Florida offensive lineman. I really wanted to hit you with this. A Northern Arizona lineman. Shay, do you have any idea? This is quiz time for you. Mm-hmm. What is the team name for Northern Arizona? Like the Vols, Gators, you know, Arizona, what do they call themselves? I don't think in a million years you'd ever guess this.
North Arizona. No. Yeah.
Any guesses?
Wildcat.
I'll tell you, they work outside. It's like a grown man that works outside. A job you and I.
Water could department.
Could never pull off.
There's a lot, man. That's not helping. Electrician. I don't know. Weatherman.
Works in nature.
Game warden. Park ranger.
You're close.
No. I have no idea.
Lumberjack.
Okay.
So you about had it.
Yeah, the old lumberjack. You sure it's not the game wardens? No.
So, hey, I love that. And, all team name.
Damn, these comments. Do not read them.
Nitro Tuggle at receiver.
Yes. They said they didn't want Cam. They wanted not. Like, which one would you rather have?
More weapons. You know, just need more weapons for our offense. And then, hey, how about this, Shane? I thought this was pretty noteworthy. Again, I think one of the teams that's quietly doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the Florida Gators, Shane. Florida Gators. They just added Eric Singleton, Shane, former Auburn receiver that really started to heat up at the tail end of the season. So man, we're working with some weapons. They also added tight end Luke Harpering. He was at Georgia Tech, so same as a quarterback, same as the offensive coordinator, importing more knowledge of what we were doing. I love what the Gators are doing in the portal.
Damn. Oh, man. Look at them Gators, man. This is, I'm telling you, Mike tried to tell you, he's been telling you this for 2 years on whoever lands Summerall was going to have nice things. And apparently it's going to be the Florida Gators. So,
Now we got to hope we got this quarterback figured out.
I don't
want to
overlook South Carolina too, because it's just funny when you talk about Shane Beamer. I can just imagine them in a group and they said, all right, the portal's about to open up, coach. And they got a hot board. He's like, I want linemen. He goes, all right, which ones? He goes, all of them. I want them all.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's where we're at.
Yeah. No, I'm just, and again, I'm the Gator fans. This is one team that you don't want to get hot, buddy. And for what he's done in this small little offseason, it's been super impressive. And this is a team you got to watch. If it does catch fire this season, I mean, this could be another sleeping giant that just wakes up. And the SEC, hell, we probably don't want it, but we do need some dominant teams. So who knows what will happen.
And, the only other thing I was going to mention with this portal.
Yeah.
And again, take this all for a grain of salt. I don't put much stock into this, but I think the fans, you know, you always need something to root for, right?
Right.
According to On3, number one portal class in the SEC, Shane?
Yes.
A&M. Mm-hmm. How about that? Right. Number four. And they got Ole Miss number five. So right now, those are the teams that are leading it, with Florida being 11th. So those are your top three out of the SEC in the transfer portal. A&M, Ole Miss, Florida, Tennessee's four. And how about them Arkansas Razorbacks, number Whoa. Five? We need some good stuff going here for Arkansas.
How many kickers they get?
They're basically imported all of Memphis roster. So
yeah.
they are turning over their roster overnight. And speaking of Arkansas, I did want to bring this to your attention just because it was pretty weird and wild.
Uh-huh.
And you know how we like weird and wild on this show. Shout out former Arkansas quarterback, Casey Dick, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a head coach there in Fayetteville. So Fayetteville High School, I believe it is. He put this out there. Disappointed in my university's approach to the recruiting process of a high school athlete. Situations like this are not good for high school athletes or the sport of football. Moving forward, Arkansas and Coach Ryan Silverfield will not be welcome in Whoa. Our facilities. And keep in mind, this is the local damn high school here.
Damn.
So what happened? And he has deleted this. So,
Coach Dick. He's at it again.
He's a former Razorback, right?
Yeah.
He played there. And the fans are all pissed off. They're all out on Coach Dick now.
But what happened?
Basically, so he had a touted quarterback.
Uh-huh.
He was coming back for his senior year. He was the top player in the state.
Uh-huh.
And then Arkansas, I guess, asked him to enroll a year early, and he said, well, hell yeah, let's do it. So now he's left without his quarterback, and again, he has deleted it. He has apologized, Coach Dick has, but not great, I would say, that again, maybe it's all on this guy, but that the new coach is already getting hate online via the high school coaches is not great.
Nah, I get it. But Coach Dick, you got talent on your roster, right? And I feel like that's going to help because high school recruits as well. But brother, I feel like for Arkansas, what are you waiting on? Why wouldn't you do something like this? Because the last thing you want is this kid to catch fire this final season, and right. then Alabama roll up or Georgia roll up and say, hey, why don't you come down here and play? God forbid Indiana get involved.
Right. And again, I mean, every situation is unique, right?
Yes.
But I would imagine, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Shane, I think you would develop far better at an SEC institution than you will in high school. I don't care how good the high school is. I don't literally know how good. It may be the best in the state, but I don't think they could touch, you know, so many things: the nutrition, the staffing, the coaching, all that. you're going to develop a hell of a lot better in college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. And not to mention what you have around you with the medical, which the food case, you know, they're going to make sure you have everything you need. So, no, it's a good move. And I can't believe a head coach of high school is pissed at a university for taking their kid. Like, we would have parades and shit in my county if some school took one of our kids. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what are you doing?
I bet the backup at that high school loves it.
Yeah. It's like, damn, coach, you ain't got no faith in me? Dick.
Hey, all right, buddy. I want to give a shout out.
Yes.
To all the great cousins, like Steven, buddy.
Showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Shout out Steven Up, Shane. He gifted Harris Razy. I hope I didn't butcher
hell
that
yeah.
Too bad. We appreciate you, Steven Up. Michael Dunlap, Shane, the Portal King Beaver down here.
That's right.
We got Jeff Marr became a member. Thank you, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Charles Eddie, I found $5 in the couch.
Jackpot. We appreciate it.
Blue Edible, we appreciate you, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
And then ACV gifted ZabZab55. All of y'all.
Welcome to the family.
That's all I got, buddy. Anything else before we... Oh, Shin,
whoa,
the master.
Oh, you know what, Shin? Maybe I should root for... Here's the thing. Maybe he doesn't want me to root for Indiana.
I think he wants you to not do it.
Because I purposely... Everybody knows what I did. Everybody knows that I purposely picked Miami to win, but they know deep down inside that's not who I wanted to win. So maybe I should... I don't know. Maybe I should stick with Miami so Indiana can get that natty.
Maybe you should charge him for your powers.
Literally.
Evil voodoo.
Yeah, Shin's done so much. It's whatever he wants, you know? Shin, tell me who to pick, all right?
Well, he has picked Shay Joey Freeman, 3LA, Aggie in Idaho, cool name, Jorge Ibanez, and Tolga Discus.
Welcome to the family.
And Cousin Benjamin, well, I see you as well. Make sure to like the video. Member for 16 butts. Shout out. Ben, we appreciate you, buddy.
Damn, that's a long time. Some people don't even have relationships that long. So that's awesome, man. Thank you, cuz. Appreciate that. Yeah, Shin said, stay away from my Hoosiers.
Hey, shout out, Mike A. Can you imagine an SEC guy going on a Big Ten pod bragging about SEC? We kind of hit on this, too, but shout out, Dave. Jason Witten to the Sooners, new tight ends coach.
Yes.
That's pretty interesting, isn't it, Shane? I believe he was a coach in high school in Texas. So a big step up, but if this was like a coordinator, I wouldn't like it, but clearly it's not. So
yeah.
Taking a gamble on a guy at a tight end position, I think that's probably a worthy decision, and I think certainly Oklahoma needed to make a change at tight ends coach.
Yes, I mean, and recruiting alone, I mean these kids still probably remember him playing at Dallas, and you know, I just feel like when you're going to talk to these guys, say, hey, you want to work together. Dude, talk about an ultimate dream. Some of these guys idolize Jason Witten. So that's a big get. It does help his son is a blue chip athlete, but
but recruiting the state of Texas.
Yeah.
That could be massive too, you know what?
For sure. For sure. No, I love it, man.
He won two. Shout out to L. Brent Venables. According to him, he won two Texas championships in the competitive high school scene. So I get mail for all. Yeah, apparently he's an amazing high school coach, right?
Well, then what took so long? Why just tied in? Can Tennessee? I mean, we fired some coaches. Could we not find a spot on this staff?
But, you're just mad he's out at Tennessee now.
I know, but I forget how much like Dallas that side loves him, right?
Yeah,
even
and
Oklahoma,
he was there a lot longer than
a lot
than
of Cowboy fans
Knoxville.
Up there. So yeah, I know, I get it, but maybe he lands maybe he gets a coordinating job. Maybe he gets a head coach opportunity somewhere. He'll always be a VFL. Can't take that badge away from him.
Well, I think you can when he's wearing Oklahoma
Stop
on the side.
Stop it! It's not the Florida Gators or anything, or Alabama. We don't hate Oklahoma yet.
Even after the short shorts?
Well, I mean, we don't hate them. We feel like we lost that game. Oklahoma didn't win that one. Shit. Tate didn't win that one. We gave that one away.
All right, hey. A little scheduling update.
Uh-oh.
Thanks to Cousin Shane. He's going to be back tomorrow. Steven will be back. So they're flipping. So Steven will be on Tuesday. Shane will be tomorrow.
Yes.
And as far as I know, we still got Crazy Marler coming in the middle of the day. So multiple shows lined up tomorrow. I got a fun idea to discuss on the next episode, Shane. You got anything else before we wrap this one up?
No. I thank you, Cousins, for hanging out with us today. And please, please, please hit that thumbs up on your way out. Really do appreciate it. And again, tomorrow I'll be on, and Steve-O, smart guy, will be on Tuesday. My youngest is turning 17. That's why I don't have any hair. All these women in my life, and we're gonna do a little birthday celebration. So happy birthday, boo! Tonight's shout outs. Thank you, JP, putting this together. Tonight's shout outs go to Mike Jones, Steven Up, Pop Goes the Culture, Shin, ACV, and Blue Freaking Animal. Thank you all. Appreciate you again.
And we will catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go far.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.